Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Louisiana State University, which has made the unfathomable decision to reintroduce a live tiger to the stadium during their home football game this weekend against Alabama. The practice of bringing the poor big cat into the thundering noise of Death Valley was ended when Mike the Sixth died in 2016, and even though the 8-year-old current mascot Mike the Seventh lives in a 15,000-square-foot habitat across the street from the stadium, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry has imported a new and unlucky tiger just for this event. As the even-keeled voices of our empathy lords at PETA have said, it's shameful and out of touch with today's respect for wild species to display a live tiger at a football game to amuse the fans. LSU rightly ended this idiotic, archaic practice nearly a decade ago. Well, as you all know, when PETA speaks, we listen, and we denounce LSU in the strongest possible terms for bringing an actual tiger inside the stadium. Tiger Stadium, that is. In fact, as we have done countless other times, we call on LSU to not only abandon this plan, but also to abandon the horribly speciesist practice of using an animal mascot in any way without securing the consent of the animal or consulting with any suitable spokescats for the species involved. This terrible practice of species appropriation and the objectification of animals for our carnal sports pleasure has really got to stop. It's just another example of exerting human dominion over animals instead of respecting our dear animal otherin as fellow inhabitants of this planet. But if we cannot yet recognize that using tigers or lions or bears or even little blue jays or cardinals as mascots is itself fundamentally wrong, let us at least not subject some poor defenseless tiger to the stress of 100,000 screaming Cajuns just because some politician thinks this spectacle will be fun. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Alyssa Farah Griffin, the former Pentagon press secretary under Donald Trump and current panelist on The View, the only certified ninth wave compliant feminist daytime soap opera on television. Despite acknowledging that as a Republican she voted for Kamala Harris in the election, Griffin made some observations that we certainly cannot allow for someone entrusted with as much power as being 1/6 of The View.
I think we forget about rural America. I think the working class feels left behind. They feel like the powerful, the elite, only care about them and their power. And he spoke to them. We may not have liked his words, but they turned out for him.
Although at first this seems like a reasonable assertion based on the facts, we know that facts are not what win elections or control populations. Good stories, compelling narratives, and emotional word pictures sway countries. She almost sounds like she's victim-blaming here, saying that the Harris campaign could have done a better job or picked a better candidate when we know that the real issue is that Trump's lies were just better lies than our lies. But it got worse.
Tens of millions of Americans, our friends, our neighbors, our family members, voted for Donald Trump. We disagree with him. I know we all do at this table, but they are good, decent people who are patriots and love this country.
Oh, dear otherin, no, no, no. This is simply not acceptable. How can we possibly succeed at demonizing Trump and his supporters if we admit they might be reasonable, patriotic people? Our whole goal is to make it seem as if no decent person can possibly support him by alienating, deplatforming, and othering them completely. Of course, at the same time, we must preach unity and inclusion and tolerance and love, but as the eighth principle of wokeness reminds us, inclusion only means including those who already agree with us. We say we believe in tolerance and inclusion, meanwhile practicing intolerance and exclusion to those with the wrong views. Duh. Unfortunately, Griffin is falling into the classic trap of believing the propaganda herself, much like some people believe The View is a show with diverse viewpoints. As you all know, the entire purpose of The View is to offer a variety of flavors of liberalism while pretending those are the only choices among which to pick. Sort of like asking a restaurant patron whether they want small, medium, or large fries, pretending that potato cakes, mashed potatoes, and tater tots don't even exist. No, the idea of showing respect for those who stand against everything we stand for is simply not our practice. And for daring to treat her fellow Americans with empathy and kindness after they voted to destroy the country, Alyssa Farah Griffin, we cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our highest praise for the elite-trained cadre of truth-tellers we currently have embedded on all the late-night network talk shows, Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, and Jimmy Kimmel. for their tireless and persistent work leading up to the election and since to terrify people about Donald Trump. Especially after Tuesday's horrific results, these certified wokeologists have really done some phenomenal work. In contrast with the likes of Alyssa Farah Griffin, at telling a consistent story of fear, anguish, and revulsion at the prospect of another Trump presidency. In particular, our highest praise for the performance by Jimmy Kimmel.
Let's be honest, it was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go, for healthcare, for our climate.
Oh, this is a very, very good performance, dear Utherin. The skill with which he appears to almost lose control but bites back his own tears bravely, showing his audience that the time to weep has ended and the time to resist has begun.
For journalism, for justice, for free speech, it was a terrible night for poor people, for the middle class, for seniors who rely on Social Security, for our allies in Ukraine, for NATO, for the truth.
Now, that is how you tell a narrative. That is how you sway a population. Yes, Seth Meyers did an excellent job at revising history to make it seem like the years under Trump were a never-ending parade of horrors.
You remember when we were constantly immersed in crisis after crisis and our nervous systems were perpetually overwhelmed by a never-ending cascade of catastrophes and cataclysms.
And yes, Stephen Colbert did a good job telling his audience that Trump supporters have now voted to end democracy, a very lovely fever pitch level of rhetoric, by the way.
And in this democracy, the majority has spoken, and they said they don't care that much about democracy.
But it was really Kimmel who put the terror cherry on top of the anxiety Sunday we were trying to promote. And so, for meritorious rhetorical valor in the fifth degree and for master-level use of captivating emotional escalation through his unique blend of contempt, ridicule, and almost comedy, we award Jimmy Kimmel the high honor of Knight of the Order of the Rainbow Lapel Mic. Well done to all, but especially well done to His Excellency, now Sir Jimmy Kimmel. Hip, hip, awoke! Hip, hip, awoke! Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Before you leave, we do want to make sure everyone is following the most recently updated social media protocols of the Elders of Krylon. The latest edition, 405.62-B, has been edited to mandate turning your profile picture to a blank black background in solidarity with all marginalized groups who feel unseen after the election. Let the rest of the digital universe try to imagine a world without us through our blackness. Now, of course, this must not be confused with putting on digital blackface. It's black as an absence, not black as a skin tone. I know it can be confusing, but we are pretending to be invisible, not pretending to be African-American. Refreshments this week are provided by Hair of the Clog. Select herbal teas brewed exclusively from the nutrient-rich essences of carefully harvested residential drain debris. Through years of study, the chemists at Hair of the Clog have perfected a process for infusing the rich biome of microbiotics growing in your ordinary sink drain into a potent and refreshing spritzer. Now available in new kitchen flavor, in addition to the classic bathroom sink and shower stall variety. Hair of the Clog. It probably won't kill you, but it might make you wish it had.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.